Good evening and welcome to Plan Lehigh Valley, the WDIY program presented along with our partners from the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. I am your co-host, Margaret McConnell, and joining me tonight is Becky Bradley, the Executive Director of the Planning Commission, and Matt Assad, its Managing Director. Thank you for being here.
Hello.
Tonight, we're going to take a look at county initiatives and how they play a key role in how the Lehigh Valley evolves from land use to recreation to transportation and housing. We're fortunate to have as our guests today two people who are taking lead roles in the county policies that shape how we live. Lori Vargo Hefner is president of Northampton County Council. In the 7 years she has served on County Council, Commissioner Vargo Hefner has served in a variety of leadership positions, including 2 years as president, 2 years as vice president and chair of human services, finance, governance, and election integrity committees. She has spent 38 years working as a psychotherapist in schools, hospitals, and agencies, and is currently employed at St. Luke's University Health Network. Jeff Brace has been chair of the Lehigh County Commissioners since 2021 and has been a commissioner since 2013. He was vice chair in 2018. Commissioner Brace is legislative assistant to State Representative Mike Schlossberg, where he oversees legislation, policy, and communication. He recently took the lead role in reforming the municipality's planning code, which is the state law that governs land use and how development works in Pennsylvania. The bill was approved yesterday. Matt, let's start with you. How closely do the counties work with the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission?
Well, so actually, the LVPC is an arm of the counties. They're not only our close partners, but they fund many of our programs, plans, and analysis, and they appoint many of our board members. We are literally the official planning organization of Lehigh or Northampton County, so pretty close. You know, so it may not seem obvious, the counties have a great impact on how we operate, and they kind of set the tone for how the region develops and manages growth.
So both counties have invested heavily in farmland preservation. Commissioner Brace, can you talk about how much the county has preserved and what it means to the county plan?
Yeah, since 1991, when Lehigh County launched its farmland preservation program and the first farm was preserved at the Beringer Farm, we've preserved 403 farms and a little over 28,000 acres of land. It's the fifth most in Pennsylvania, which is pretty impressive considering that includes other counties like Chester County and Lancaster County, which, you know, much larger landmass than we have. And it's a function of our partnership with the farmers, with the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and the nine different municipalities that partner with us on open space and farmland preservation initiatives.
Great. So Commissioner Vargo Hefner, Northampton County also has a very active farmland preservation program. How much has been preserved, and why do you think people are so willing to invest taxpayer money in this?
So far, we've preserved 251 farms totaling 19,000 acres, and we commit at least $1 million a year to preserving farmlands. I really think that this is part of our covenant to our area, is that while we've done a lot with developing land, we certainly need to balance that with keeping the open space. And, you know, originally it was all farmland. So I think it's great to respect the integrity of what we were while we're looking to go forward in our future.
Yes, definitely. So between the two counties, that's more than 73 square miles of preserved open space. Becky, how does that work? What does it mean to preserve farmland? And how does this all fit into the regional plan that the LVPC crafts?
Yes, I mean, it really is one of the core values of Future LV, the regional plan, which, by the way, is the bi-county comprehensive plan adopted by Northampton County and Lehigh County. So that is a comprehensive plan for the direction of the region. And there's a couple of things in that plan, and just kind of going to underscore what both Commissioner Brace and Commissioner Vargo Hefner had to say. But ultimately, the comprehensive plan or Future LV supports agriculture and open space as an essential component of the regional economy and our identity, as well as, you know, the preservation of farmland. It helps maintain rural character where it makes sense to have that and provide open space. And so ultimately what that does and the investments by the county when people do choose to sell their development rights to maintain that rural character and to continue to farm is it allows us to retain and ultimately, hopefully, expand farming and support effective farmland management techniques, because farming is a business, right? It allows us to also simultaneously encourage natural area protection, because a lot of our farmland properties have significant stands of woodlands, have water courses running through them. So it's sort of a symbiotic relationship in a lot of ways between the agricultural economy and our natural environment. I mean, supports, you know, things that you don't often think about, whether it's clean water or wildlife habitat. And it does other things too. It allows us to support more cluster development. And cluster development is good where you have your development in very specific geographic locations that are tied to the infrastructure. So, you know, then you're not having as much wear and tear on rural roads that aren't built to withstand the amount and the volume of traffic that you see in areas that are heavily farmed. And I mean, it does other things too, like it strengthens our local markets for regional agricultural products, which promotes agritourism and, you know, really important and critical economic activities that we have, like the Easton Farmers Market, for example, or the Emmaus Farmers Market, and so on and so forth. So there's that symbiotic relationship even between farming and farmers, and even some of our more urbanized areas. And so looking at it holistically, which both counties do, and honestly, it's remarkable that they do it in very similar ways and have been making very similar and long-term investments, has really allowed us to maintain a lot of our quality of life.
Which is so important to what we have here as our really great location here in the Lehigh Valley. So Commissioner Vargo Heffner, Northampton County also has a robust park system. Where does that fit in County Council's list of priorities?
I think it's one of our core functions of government to continue maintaining our parks and our trails. I know that we've worked extensively to maintain upkeep and work with DCNR to connect trails to other parts of not only Lehigh County, but to New York, New Jersey, and creating that ability to have great outdoor recreational space is essential to the health and well-being of our citizens. I'm a social worker, I'm a therapist, and you know, we're always talking about social determinants of health. And so the ability to get outdoors, be in a park, be in nature, is essential to people's health and well-being. And so I can't think of a better way to support that by continuing to preserve these areas and make them available to all of our citizens.
Absolutely. So Commissioner Brace, Lehigh County's park system is also among the most extensive in the state. What do you attribute that to?
So I think if you trace back to the history of Lehigh County's park system, you're going to find General Trexler's thumbprints all over it. And that's kind of a generation of the bullish conservationism that existed in the country at the time, where philanthropists like General Trexler, you know, you can talk about Teddy Roosevelt, and that generation of folks who saw the outdoors as being critical to the life of the community and the national spirit. And we've got parks that range in size from, you know, 2 or 3 acres in small towns to the Trexler Nature Preserve, which is almost 1,500 acres and is kind of the jewel of our park system. We all frequently will make the reference in county government, Lehigh County, that we don't have a state park in our boundaries. So it's really upon the county and local governments to ensure that level of outdoor opportunity exists. And I think we do it really well. I mean, our parks seem to blend in seamlessly with the fabric of the community, but are often connected with municipal parks in different parts of the county. And they give people an opportunity for both passive and active recreation. We have trails that are embedded in some of those parks. And in fact, we maintain some of the DNL trail. So you can use our park system to get around pretty extensively.
So Becky, this focus on farmland and parks is really about open space preservation. Do you get a sense that this is how people want their tax dollars invested?
Absolutely. And here's how we know. You know, every, you know, handful of years or so, we do a survey out to the community to kind of benchmark what the community believes their priorities for the region should be. And literally, time and time again, parks, recreation, and open space, as well as farmlands and natural lands, come up in the top three. And in most cases, they're one and two. And then usually some other things that fall into that mix are quality job opportunities, for example. So you kind of get the sense that people do define those things as our quality of life if you put them all together. And so, you know, I think that's underscored by the very important investments that both counties have made in both Parks, Rec, and Open Space, and in open space protection, as well as farmland preservation over the decades. And there's this constant dialogue between the counties, LVPC, the state, the federal government as well on how we can continue to enhance those investments. Our local governments also do their own parks, rec, and open space plans for very specific facilities that they own or that they're looking to grow. And one of the things that's really important with Future LV, the regional plan, is that we kind of tie all of that together. And so, you know, through that larger comprehensive plan, one of the things that we did is we really realized that that trail network is also a transportation network. And so we were able to designate some of the larger trail components like the DNL National Heritage Corridor Trail as actually a commuter corridor as well. So starting to look at it beyond the ability to protect significant stretches of the Lehigh River and get people closer to nature to looking at it as part of the transportation network as well. And then that helps leverage additional funds into maintaining and growing that trail network. And on this, I know you didn't ask this, but I had a real unique opportunity to see the Atlanta Beltline, which is a very robust trail system in Atlanta, Georgia. They were very proud, by the way, it's a beautiful system, and they were very proud to say that sum total, the entire 12-county Atlanta region, 12-county Atlanta region, multiple millions of people, had up to like 120, I think 121 miles of total trail. We have over 300 miles of trail today. And so, you know, just to see that comparison between this major metropolitan area in Georgia to hear and see the progress that we've made over many decades, it really underscores a long-term investment and the priority of all of these things to our region. And I think it's something that we should really celebrate and be proud of.
Absolutely. So I want to switch our conversation out of the outdoors and to senior care. A lot of counties have gotten out of the nursing home business, but both Lehigh Valley counties remain nursing home operators. Commissioner Brace, why is Lehigh County investing $100 million to expand Cedarbrook Senior Care and Rehabilitation Facility?
This is actually one of the reasons why I first ran for county commissioner, because not all of my colleagues at the time were supportive of the county staying in this business. And I said then, and I continue to believe that this is a moral obligation. The people who are residents at Cedarbrook, they helped build this region. You know, they worked the factories, they worked in the schools. They paved the way for what we come to realize is a great place to live and to raise a family, to do business. Now we have an obligation to continue that. We actually, that facility, we have two facilities. There's the one in South Whitehall Township with almost 490 beds, and then the 100-bed unit in Fountain Hill. So we serve a lot of residents there. And we've stated for the past couple of decades that the expectation of the highest quality of care is something that we can maintain. And I think coming out of the pandemic, we see how skilled nursing facilities across the country are struggling to maintain that quality of care. Cedarbrook is still a star for facility. And I'm proud of that. Like we not only fulfill our moral obligation, but we do it in such an exceptional way that the people there are well taken care of. And we constantly hear feedback from families about the quality of care that the staff at Cedarbrook delivers. Finally, I think this is a long-range understanding that Pennsylvania's population is not getting younger. We're seeing this industry come under great strain. And if somebody doesn't do this, it's going to be a significant problem across this country. So I think counties that got out of the business are going to find themselves regretting the decision to get out of the business. Maybe finances will bear that out, but I think they're not serving the community that they were elected to serve.
Commissioner Vargo Hefner, you have Graysdale in Northampton County. I imagine that it is also an important part of county services.
Absolutely. And Graysdale has been discussed and debated, and the citizens voted overwhelmingly to keep Graysdale. And I agree with everything that Commissioner Brace said in terms of what's happening across the state and their views on nursing homes. And I think it's a moral obligation that we continue to preserve and protect Graysdale. And I think that, you know, sometimes people have differences about how that gets done, but ultimately it's essential to have these services available for our older citizens. We are also looking at new ways to utilize what we offer. For example, we do offer short-term rehab services, which is a stepstone sometimes pre-needing the residents. So I think looking at that continuum of care at the lifespan and making sure that the elder side is available for our citizens is just paramount to core functioning of county government. It's a labor of love, and I think everyone has taken a big hit post-COVID, but I think people are working creatively and diligently to come back, and we're starting to see the reset and people coming back into looking at communal living and returning to Graysdale. Because I think for a while, people just weren't looking at sending anybody anywhere. And so it's good to see that it's on the rise. We also have, in order to accommodate our employees and make their willingness to stay and work in this kind of facility, we've put money into having a daycare for those employees at the facility, and so that they can work those long hours, drop their children off, and know that their children are safe and cared for while they're caring for our most vulnerable population.
Becky, these facilities obviously play a big role in the region's housing profile, but we need more housing and more attainable housing, don't we?
Oh my gosh, yes, absolutely we do. And we've got some exciting stuff that's about to kick off here soon. But just to kind of give you a sense of what that means is we have nearly a 9,000 unit housing shortage today. And as the County Planning Commission, we reviewed between 4,900 to 6,500 housing units each year for the last 4 years. And so despite, you know, those rising interest rates, reviewing, you know, 2,800 units through May of 2024, to give you a sense of it, is really putting us on the pace for more than 6,700 units would be the most since 2007 during that, you know, big building boom that we saw earlier in the 2000s. If the proposals continue. But even if all of those units get built, it's going to take, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years in some cases before a lot of those are available to be occupied. One of the things that we're very concerned about is the amount of rental housing that we have constructed when there's such a high demand for ownership units. And so we'll be working very closely with Lehigh County, which has funded the effort for the whole region, and Commissioner Vargo Hefner in Northampton County on figuring out what type of housing do we need by income? Where do we need that housing? If you are starting out in your career and you only make, let's say, $50,000, what can you actually afford to rent? Do rents align with that? What could you afford to buy if you're in that new home ownership pool? And then that'll also help us support the counties in serving the seniors too. So we have a lot of seniors that are hoping to age in place and stay in their homes. But when they get to the point that they'd like to sell that home and they have, you know, the county facilities available to them, what does that housing profile look like? And what type of units can we expect to be vacated over time as well? So then, you know, new people can come in and buy those and make them their home as well. So there's a lot going on, and it's a hyper dynamic conversation. It is a partnership, again, with Lehigh County, Northampton County, and the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. So that you'll hear a lot more from our counties here in short order towards the end of the summer. But it just hopefully a little teaser that there's a lot of desire to unknot a very big and complicated problem, even with the amount of new housing development being proposed.
So how does multi-municipal planning factor into our housing shortage, and how do the counties play a role?
Both counties are absolutely amazing partners in supporting our local governments to plan together, and have been for a very long time. And there's been a very intense effort in that regard over the last, oh, really decade, but it's been really, really active over the last 5 years or so. So we have had in Northampton County three groups of communities, 10 up in the Slate Belt area, 10 in the Nazareth area, and then two down in the Hellertown area that have been doing multi-municipal comprehensive planning. As part of that, they look at housing supply and where they would like to see additional housing be built. And then when you go over to Lehigh County, we have the whole area around Lower Macungie, Upper Macungie, Macungie Borough in a plan. And we have the group of folks up in northern, northwestern Lehigh in a multi-municipal plan. And then, very, very cool, but right in the center of the Lehigh Valley, we have three communities in Northampton County and two communities in Lehigh County. So Northampton Borough and North Catasauqua Borough and East Allen in Northampton County, and then Catasauqua and Hanover Township, Lehigh County, all in a multi-municipal plan that they just adopted recently. Now they're coordinating their zoning together so they can work on housing issues amongst other issues as well. So at the end of the day, there's a real desire amongst our local governments to share, to make things more efficient, but also to work on increasing housing supply where they would like it and where they need it, and not to allow the sprawl that we really saw back in the early 2000s. So it's really a very mature conversations that our local governments are having, and really, really, really wise conversations as they attempt to manage growth. And both counties have provided technical support through us, the LVPC, but also financial support. And none of these efforts would happen without that financial support. So it's a real team effort, and it's really starting to pay off.
So we only have a few minutes left, but I'd like to give each of the commissioners a minute. So speed round here. Are there any planning related county initiatives we missed that you want to mention? We'll start with Commissioner Vargo Hefner.
I think we've covered a lot of it. And just to circle back on this housing issue, people's health and well-being overall are reliant upon having good, safe, affordable residences. And so this is essential to us continuing the conversation, you know, collaboratively between ourselves in Lehigh County and the Planning Commission to make sure that this is available here in the Valley. I think also just that delicate balance between wanting to grow the economic development and attractiveness of the area to have manufacturing come in, but also protecting that livable space so that people don't feel like they're inundated. And we haven't even touched on this. We could probably do a whole show on just transportation alone and how traffic patterns and transportation are changing in this area, which also impacts and affects the quality of life. But I just think that we look to continue to be a partner with everyone and to collaborate. And I think you have to look at us not just as a county, but as a region, because if we're not all working together, we're all falling apart. And I think it's just great that we have the ability to do so.
What about you, Commissioner Brace?
I'm excited about the housing study that Becky referenced. That's going to really direct a lot of efforts and investments in our region. Also excited about the Riverside Drive project that's happening, connecting the communities along the western banks of the Lehigh River to each other and to the river itself. I know you've covered this in other shows, but the climate action plan and the transportation plans that LVPC and LVTS have helped to coordinate, you know, these are things that they touch the livelihood and well-being of communities across our region. I always reference that Bethlehem is the example of why this type of cooperation is so critical. You know, Bethlehem straddles both counties. And so the folks in Bethlehem, in my mind, should expect that the two counties are working seamlessly on these issues so that the needs that everybody have aren't negated just by living in one county versus another county. So I look forward to this type of cooperation continuing. And I'm grateful for the Planning Commission being such a vibrant partner in this type of work.
We've only got a minute left. Becky, is there anything briefly you want to tease about the role the counties are going to play in tackling the growth we're experiencing?
Well, I mean, they already are. And I think you heard that from Commissioner Vargo Hefner and Commissioner Brace. I mean, these are tremendous partners that we have. And our region is not like other regions. The amount of people that work for councils of governments, similar to the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, or what are some in some places called regional councils in other parts of the country, they struggle to get their partners to the table, their counties to the table, their municipal partners to the table. And here, there's always been this sense that we really are the Lehigh Valley and that we each have a specific role to play and that we're each willing to work towards that set of goals that we've agreed on. And so, you know, at the end of the day, I'm just absolutely so proud of the work that both counties are doing and that our local governments are doing in partnership with them and with us, as well as, you know, our state and federal partners have a footprint there too, to make this region as great as it is. This is a special place, and it wouldn't happen without these deep and important partnerships and investments that Northampton and Lehigh County are making.
That's wonderful to hear. Thank you. I want to just close us out by thanking our guests tonight. And as always, our hosts, Becky Bradley and Matt Assad. Thank you, Commissioner Brace and Lori Vargo Hefner. If you would like to listen to this program again, please go to WDIY.org or the WDIY app or your favorite podcast platform. I'm your host, Margaret McConnell. Thank you for listening. Good night.
If you enjoyed this program, please go to the WDIY website or app to share or become a WDIY member.